The syndrome of the perro del hortelano, the dog in the barn, refers to a dog growling over the food that he neither eats nor lets anyone else eat. This was the image that Peruvian President Alan Garcia evoked in 2007 to describe the many indigenous communities in Peru who intended to protect their lands and resources in the face of the impending free trade agreement with the United States. Garcia's argument was that Peru's future economic development would be paved with the income generated by the exploitation of the country's rich natural resources, primarily in the Amazon, which would be facilitated through the signing of free trade agreements. Though Garcia got his wish, and the U.S.-Peru free trade agreement went into effect on February 1, 2009, the problem that continued to disturb him was that the people who lived on those lands had the audacity to stand in the way of Peru's progress. Garcia's argument amounted to the declaration of a slow-burning war designed to marginalize and criminalize indigenous and rural community opposition to his administration's development plans. This war turned violent near the northern Amazonian town of Bagua on June 5, 2009, when members of the Peruvian National Police moved in with lethal force to remove indigenous protesters upset about the opening up of their lands to the oil and gas extractive industries via legislative decrees promulgated to facilitate the enactment of the free trade agreement. The violence left 34 people dead, including 23 police, and 202 injured indigenous protesters, 89 with bullet wounds. Indigenous rights groups are still calling for a fair and impartial account of what led up to the violence, what occurred that day, and who should be held accountable. In early June 2010, indigenous and rural community leaders from across the country traveled back to Bagua to participate in several events associated with the one-year anniversary of the confrontation, including a memorial commemoration held at the now infamous Curva del Diablo. The events also included a forum on the rights of indigenous and rural communities in relation to the extractive industries, as well as discussions held to plan future protest measures for those living in resource-rich zones targeted by Garcia's development plans. A delegation of invited activists from Brazil reflected the desire of the forum's organizers to build national and international alliances among people impacted by these types of development projects. Noticeably absent from the memorial service were the thousands of protesters from the Awayun and Wampis communities, many who were among the wounded of the June 2009 massacre, and decided to stay in the mountains, fearing a repeat confrontation with the police. People made the pilgrimage up the hill of the curve to pay their respects at a cross that was erected in remembrance of those who died. An old woman held up a sign that said, "So that this never happens again." Little appears to have changed in terms of ensuring that that old woman will get her wish. After the violence, instead of slowing down, the Garcia-led extraction of natural resources has only accelerated, provoking at least 132 community conflicts with extractive industry projects throughout the country. Many participants in the forum from the Andean regions brought tales of frustration on how their communities have been or will potentially be affected by large multinational mining and hydroelectric projects, as well as the persecution they encountered after organizing in opposition. Between December 2009 and June 2010, hydrocarbon extractive companies had obtained 52 concessions from the national government for oil and gas exploration and exploitation, totaling 322,000 square kilometers of the Peruvian Amazon, which covered 41.2% of the entire area. This was up from 7.1% in 2003. The concessions region included 17% of the country's protected areas and more than half of all lands that had previously been titled to indigenous communities. This was all authorized without their prior and informed consent, despite the fact that that right has been in effect in that country since 1995, when Peru signed Convention 169 of the International Labor Organization. One of the notable concessions is the gold mining project Afrodita of Canadian-owned Dorator Resources Incorporated. It is located in El Cenepa of the Cordillera del Condor, which is home to the national park Ichigat-Muja and to the Awayun and Wampis indigenous peoples. By all accounts, this is just the beginning. The Garcia administration has been moving full speed ahead with plans to open new lots for oil and gas drilling, primarily in the Amazon region, which means billions of dollars in potential future investment. Garcia has been traveling to the United States, France, Spain, and England to drum up interest in their sale. The criminalization of protest continues unabated as well. Magdiel Carrion, vice president of the National Confederation of Peruvian Communities Affected by Mining, has had at least 15 criminal charges filed against him since 2007 for his efforts to organize the mountain communities of the northern coastal department of Piura against several mining operations. Carrion is just one of more than 1,500 social leaders facing criminal charges for their activism, 600 of whom are indigenous. Ayin Montesarios, the president of the Federation of Peruvian Students, spoke at the forum about the continued need for a full official accounting of what occurred on June 5, 2009, and called for the establishment of a truth commission independent from the government. Although the Commission of Inquiry, which presented its report December 2009, was supposed to be an independent investigative body, it was heavily criticized by indigenous and human rights groups for governmental interference. A congressional commission looking into the events of Bagua presented a report in May 2010 that closely followed the disputed arguments of that earlier report. Nevertheless, individual, dissenting members of each of those commissions used minority reports, which had been presented to the public and the Peruvian government, to counter both the Commission of Inquiries and the Congressional Commission's reports, as well as the government's version of events, particularly that indigenous protesters were manipulated by outside agitators. Sister Mary Carmen Gomez and Jesus Manassés, both from the Commission of Inquiry, also brought their minority report to the Inter-American Court in April 2010 to illustrate the need for an independent inquiry. The United Nations Special Rapporteur on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, James Anaya, had also urged months earlier the creation of an independent commission. All minority reports placed a heavy blame on Congress for its failure to act on the constitutionality of the legislative decrees, thus creating a stalemate between indigenous protesters and the government that allowed tensions to grow over many months before the violence. Furthermore, the reports were critical of the Garcia administration, focusing on the actions of the president himself and former Interior Minister Mercedes Cabanillas. The reports also looked at the actions of Peruvian National Police Generals Elias Muguruza Delgado and Javier Uribe Altamirano, both of whom are under criminal investigation for their leadership of the police operation to forcibly remove the protesters. However, instead of prosecuting Muguruza, Garcia appointed him to the Office of Human Rights of the Ministry of the Interior in April 2010. One bright spot since Bagua was the passage of the consultation law on May 19, 2010, in the Peruvian Congress. Although indigenous leaders recognized the text of the bill had problems, they still celebrated the bill's requirement of community participation in all concessionary decisions as a step that could move Peru towards a more democratic and inclusive decision-making process in terms of its development policies. This bill predictably faced stiff opposition from the business community, as well as members of former President Alberto Fujimori's party and their voting bloc partners, the National Unity Party, both who voted against it in Congress. Although congressional members of the president's American Popular Revolutionary Party usually vote with these two other parties in what is known as the official alliance, this time they broke with them and supported this bill. The decisive factor for this break was likely U.S. pressure on the Garcia administration to get something passed in order to lower the international criticism stemming from all the social conflicts associated with Peru's free trade agreement with the United States. Now the consultation law is seemingly being undermined by the Garcia administration. On June 21, 2010, the last day for the president to act on the proposed legislation, Garcia returned the bill to the legislative body with observations for changes. Indigenous rights leaders believe the bill was returned in an attempt to postpone the proposed legislation, giving the administration time to sell 25 new lots for oil and grass drilling prior to the law going into effect. The new lots would therefore not fall under the proposed jurisdiction of the consultation law due to a provision barring its retroactive application. Although the congressional session officially ended on June 25, 2010, attempts to address the observations prior to the closing of the session failed when the Commission on Andean Peoples, one of the two commissions in charge of developing the consultation law, met to debate the observations on June 23, 2010, but failed to attract enough members to achieve a quorum, and the Constitution Commission, the second commission, didn't even meet. Today, 1 year and a half after the Bagua massacre, little has changed in Peru. Several issues are still pending. Furthermore, the regime seems to be interested in preventing, by all means necessary, the new Forestry Act from being consulted. This is not surprising. Not only has this bill, currently in the hands of the Agriculture Committee of Congress, yet to offer the full guarantees of respect for indigenous peoples' territories, but the government has also no intention of implementing the procedure of prior consultation. The lack of willingness of the government to mend its ways is not only evident from a regulatory and administrative standpoint. The clumsy attempts to create ghost indigenous organizations at the most critical time of the conflict has given way to the unlimited financing of parallel organizations without representation. It is particularly shameful that they occur on the land of the Awayun people, a victim of the military operation of Bagua. The government has created the Awayun Coordinator Body, and none other than retired Vice Admiral of the Peruvian Navy and current Vice President of Peru, Luis Gianpietri Rojas, is behind it. His only purpose is to break wills, corrupt leaders and officials so that they accept mining projects and thus weaken the organizations that are determined to defend their land while opponents are harassed. For the Awayun people, a lot is at stake. In addition to the mining concessions along the border, for which the government, led by the American Popular Revolutionary Party, approved the reduction of the National Ichikatmuja Cordillera del Condor National Park, and Oil Block 116, which constitutes 856,000 hectares, which overlaps almost 100 Awayun and Wampis communities of the Santiago, Cenepa, Nieva, and Marañón rivers. It recently gave Block 165 in concession to Emerald Energy, while two more block concessions are still pending. The consequences of this include a serious increase in conflicts that threaten social peace in this region, the creation of ghost organizations with government funding, a practice previously implemented by oil companies, is also beginning to be seen in other areas where projects, which are rejected by the indigenous population and their organizations, are being encouraged. Let us hope that another Bagua massacre is not around the corner. For further information on the Bagua massacre in the Peruvian Amazon, you can visit Equipo Niscor's specialized webpage. This program was prepared with information provided by Cristina Aiello for the North American Congress on Latin America and Federica Barclay for Amazon Watch, and has been produced in our studios in Belgium on February 18, 2011.